Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
What's up, leaders? Jason here. So glad that you are choosing to spend some time with us. I don't know what that pause was there. But anyway, I'm glad to have you here on the Common Confident Leader Podcast. And have you ever been in a situation where what you intended to happen was not the way it was received? You know what I mean? Like, there was an employee, a teammate, a boss, I don't know what it was, but they just totally took what you were doing wrong. Like, they took it the complete opposite way that you intended it to do. Maybe some of you've experienced that in your marriage, you know, your spouse or your significant other totally misunderstood your intentions, and you couldn't understand how they could take it the way that they did. And you just get so frustrated with each other, and there's just this tension that just adds into the relationship what you didn't need. Well, that comes down to the issue of self-awareness. And I think there's a lot of us who get in trouble when we don't intend to, because of a lower self-awareness. Now, some people will call that an EQ issue, emotional intelligence issue, but I really don't think it is. I think sometimes we don't even know why certain things trigger us, why certain things upset us, and then sometimes our reactions come out sideways when we don't intend them to. And if we don't understand what's going on inside of us, then we're going to have trouble regulating how we are coming across to other people, and the relationships that we have with other people and how they experience us is going to be far from what we hope that they would experience when we're around one another. And so I want to talk a little bit about how to grow self-awareness, and I'm going to give you four really helpful principles that if you will put these things into action, because that's really our focus here at the Calm and Confident Leader, is to help you have actionable steps that you can take to really grow your leadership to another place, another level. And so thank you so much again for taking the time to listen to the Calm and Confident Leader, where our focus is to build resilience, beat anxiety, and manage stress so that we can maximize our potential. Today's topic, growing our self-awareness. So principle number one is this, and that is you're going to grow your self-awareness by examining your patterns. Here's something that you may not realize. There are certain things that you are doing in a very similar way, or there are certain types of people or certain types of situations or circumstances that are causing you to act in certain ways. And if we don't pay attention to them, and this is what happens for most leaders look at each situation almost individually and say, oh man, I can't believe that went sideways, or I can't believe that didn't turn out the way I was hoping it would turn out. But if they would kind of pause for a second and just do a little bit of assessment, a self-assessment, you'll notice that there are certain patterns to your reactions. There's certain patterns to what upsets you. There's certain patterns to what excites you. There's certain patterns where you feel the need to exercise more influence and, you know, maybe even control in certain situations. And then there's other situations where you completely back off and you just kind of let it roll. And there's reasons for those things. And that's what I mean by examining your patterns. There have been some patterns in your life story, both positively and negatively, that are continuing to repeat themselves. And if we aren't in tune with those patterns, then obviously we're doomed to repeat them and we're not going to be able to make change. Because here's the thing, and this is really a good overall principle when we're talking about self-awareness, is that you can only change what you're aware of. You can only change what you're aware of. And you're like, duh, right? Of course, I can only change it if I'm aware of it. Well, the problem is that everybody around you is aware of it, but you're not. And even what they're aware of, you're not aware. Let me put it this way. What they are experiencing from you, they may not know why they are experiencing it, but they're experiencing you that way. And it's your job not only to know how you are being experienced, but more importantly, what is driving that experience inside of you? Because where most leaders, especially when it comes to bringing change, is they hang out around the behavior line, meaning they want to make sure that they're not coming across in a way that's not helpful for others. And so they will often try external habits and noticing certain things and then trying to change those things externally. And the problem is that's not truly who they are. It's not an authentic change, and so it will likely be a short-lived change. So in order to make your changes be actual meaningful changes, we are going to need to get to the root cause, the source of our behavior. And one of the overarching principles at the Common Confident Leader is that our behavior is built on our beliefs. And you believe certain things about yourself. You believe certain things about maybe particular employees or teammates or a boss. You believe certain things about business or success. There's a number of things that are driving you on that core belief level. And if we don't pay attention to what's at that core belief level, the changes that you make will be only cosmetic. And I hate to say that, because that's where I think a lot of leaders hang out, is at the cosmetic level. And that cosmetic level is only helpful for a very short season. So you can change things at a cosmetic level, but eventually the cosmetics fall away and you're left with who you really are. And real change is changing who you really are. And that's going to start. And that's why this whole conversation on today's episode is so critically important. Because if we're not self-aware on how we're being perceived, how we're being experienced, but then more importantly, if we're not self-aware about what is driving our behaviors and what is causing us to react in certain ways around certain people or certain circumstances or situations, then we'll never be able to bring the change that is necessary. So, principle number one, grow your self-awareness by examining your patterns. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, we're going to look at our life story. We're going to pay attention to what people, events, experiences have had the greatest influence in shaping the person you've become. Now, again, I'm talking positively and negatively. The person you are today is because you were shaped. You were shaped and influenced by other experiences, by other events, and by other people. And those three things, events, experiences, and people, have shaped so much of who you are today and the way you act today. So we want to pay attention to, what are those key events? What are those key experiences? And the experiences are oftentimes things that we've chosen. Events are often things that have happened to us. You know, this event happened. My parents got divorced, or I lost this important job. Yeah. Whereas an experience is something that I've chosen into. I've gone down that road, and then I had that experience. So it's a little bit different. But the idea here is to really pay attention to, what are those key events? And so I would invite you to get out a notebook and write down, what were those defining moments in your life? Who were those defining people in your life, positively and negatively? And try to get in tune with what that is. And then say, how did they influence me? Or how did that experience influence me? Well, I developed humility because of being in a situation where I was humiliated. Or I became a lot more proudful and arrogant and cynical because of how that person hurt me or humiliated me. So you can respond in different ways, but what I want you to pay attention to is what happened in your story that you need to, that you can begin to clue into. Wow, I've noticed this thread of rejection, or I've noticed this thread of being underestimated, or I've noticed this thread. So you're going to pay attention to some of those patterns and some of those threads that are ongoing or repeating, I should say, in your life story. Also under this, we want to look at what experiences did I have where I found the greatest passion for really leading? When I was in this experience, I just love that kind of leadership. I loved when I was in those kinds of environments because the kind of leadership I was able to exercise in those environments was just, you know, it just made me come alive. And So those are really what we're talking about, is paying attention to certain patterns. And then even present day, I want you to kind of look at, is there certain things that when they happen, I tend to react this way to those things? Or are there certain people that come into my life that they kind of rub me the wrong way, or they tend to be somebody that I immediately trust because there's just something about them that makes me trust them right away? What is it? And start paying attention to those patterns. Okay, second principle is use your emotions as a dashboard. Use your emotions as a dashboard. Emotions don't happen to us, they happen from us. Emotions don't happen to us, they happen from us. We are responsible for our emotions. And so we need to pay attention to our emotions and figure out, oh boy, I wonder why I reacted so strongly to that. Or I wonder why that just kind of set me off. And you're going to take responsibility for your emotions. You're not going to beat yourself up. You know, maybe you're somebody who really struggles with anger or whatever. Just pay attention to it right now. We're not kind of shaming one another in this. We just want to pay attention to it, and we want to take responsibility for it. And then I want to get curious about it, because see, emotions are often going to point you to something deeper. And so you want to find out, what is that emotion pointing to? There's typically a belief or an experience or some situation in your life that has caused you to react that way. And the reason I know that is I can experience the same thing that you experienced, and my emotions won't be the same as yours. Well, why is that? Because there's something inside of me that is causing me to emote differently than you are. And that really has to do with my life story. That has to do with the things that have happened to me in my life. And so I want you to get curious. One of the things that I often tell my students is that the goal here is not that you become an expert on all stress and anxiety and all of that. I just want you to become an expert on your stress, on your anxieties, because when you better understand yourself, then you're able to make the necessary changes. But you'll never be able to make the really lasting changes unless you understand what is driving you. And emotions are like that dashboard. And we've talked about this in the past, but there's this dashboard. Emotions become this dashboard in our vehicle called life. And they give us a clue on what's happening in the rest of us. And so those emotions provide that opportunity to dig a little deeper and say, okay, the dashboard is saying that I'm on empty, right? That's what the dashboard is saying. So let me figure out what's on empty and what I need to pay attention to and what needs to be filled up. And that's what I mean by the dashboard, because it's pointing to something else in your body. It's pointing to something else in your life that you need to pay attention to. The dashboard is merely giving you an indicator that something needs to be looked at. And so when emotions are particularly intense, that's what we want to do with them, is we want to figure out, what are they pointing to? What is the deeper story underneath that emotion? And if you will follow the thread of your emotion, then you will be able to better understand what's going on so that you can say, I don't know if I really like that emotion. Boy, that came off so strong. That came off much bigger than I wanted it to. So then I'd say, okay, well, what's driving it? What's beneath it all? All right, are we tracking? Are we making sense? Good? All right, we're growing self-awareness. Common confident leader, number three. So I got four of these, so we're going to do the third one here. And the third way that you're going to grow in your self-awareness is you're going to talk to people who care enough to be honest with you. Third principle, growing your self-awareness, is talk to people who care enough to be honest with you. Now, what do you do? All right, so let's just say, and I know most of us probably only have one or two people that we could even think of that would really, truly care enough about us to be really brutally honest with us. And so who are those people and how do you even get that conversation going? Well, let me give you two conversation starters that will help you down this road, okay? You find that person, take them out for coffee or grab a beer, whatever you're going to do, sit down with them and be like, hey, what is it like to be on the other side of me? What's it like to be on the other side of me? They're going to say, well, what do you mean by that? Like, how do you experience me? You know, what am I like as a person? I know how I think I'm acting as a person, but how would you describe me? What's it like to experience me? What's it like to be on the other side of me? And maybe that's a little too for you. Maybe you have a hard time asking that question. So maybe you'll like this one better. Here's the second question. It'll get at the same thing. And it's this. If you weren't afraid of upsetting me or you weren't afraid of me becoming defensive, what would you tell me about myself? So if you weren't afraid of upsetting me or you weren't afraid of me becoming defensive, what would you tell me about myself? I want to get better at leading people and I want to get better at understanding myself. And what I've realized is I don't understand myself in how others perceive me. I know how I'm trying to come across and I know how I think I'm coming across, but I can't get outside of me without your help. And so I'm asking for your help. What would you want to tell me about myself that would help me better communicate with people, be able to present things better, whatever you want to share with me. And I would try to make it as open-ended as you possibly can so that that other person feels like they can talk. And then this is really, really key. Shut up. Be quiet at this point. Like, you need to just kind of let that person talk. And the only time that you should be speaking at this point is to ask a clarifying question. Like, well, what do you mean by that? And not, well, what do you mean by that? Because then that's going to come across defensive. We don't want that. We want to be curious. Wow, really? Tell me more about that. Where have you seen that show up? What does that sound like coming out of my mouth? Like, what are the kinds of things that I say? That's asking clarifying questions. Can you give me an example of where you saw me do that thing? Those are the kinds of questions that are going to be helpful in you understanding. And if you can, I would sit there with your notebook and I would be jotting down some of these things. Look, that person is not God and that person is not going to share it perfectly. And to be honest with you, maybe some of those people have been dying for a chance to tell you these things. And because of their own issues, they're going to let you have it. They're going to share things with you that may be more about them than they are about you. But you're going to write them down anyway, because you're going to want to take this and then process it later and figure out where were the nuggets of truth in this. And obviously, and that's why I said pick people who care enough about you to be honest, because you don't necessarily want to pick an enemy or somebody you know who's got an axe to grind. But I'll just be honest, even with some of my best friends, each of them have their own stories going on when my story is present as well. So I'm asking them for help into my story, but it's impossible for them to not let a little of their story bleed into it, and their issues and their struggles are going to come out. And you just have to know that. So you don't have to point that out. You don't have to draw attention to it. You just need to be able to receive what they're saying and then ask clarifying questions. And if they can't think of an example of when you've done X, Y, or Z, I would put a little asterisk by that and say no example or something, because again, those would be some good signs that that might be something that's more about them than it is about you. But again, the goal here is to grow in your self-awareness. And unfortunately, you cannot know this kind of information without somebody helping you. You're not going to be able to figure out how you come across to other people without tapping into this. Now, I have a client who, because of his aversion, because of his aversion to conflict, and nobody likes conflict, so that's why I'm saying aversion, like he just doesn't want to be near any conflict, something that's going to cause conflict. So what I noticed when I was working with him is that he often wouldn't share clearly with the people on his team or the people who were reporting to him. He often would make the conversation or the request that he was making, he would make it very cloudy. And the reason he did that is he didn't want to be so direct and so clear that it would offend the other person or cause conflict. And so he would kind of beat around the bush and just kind of share things not completely crystal clear. And so then the person would go doing the best they could with the information they had. And typically, over and over again, this client of mine would get frustrated with those who were reporting to him because they weren't doing things the way he asked them to or the way he assumed he asked them to. And they weren't doing them the way he expected them to be done. And so the issue wasn't the employee, though. The issue wasn't the person who was they were supervising. The issue was their issue. But they weren't aware that because of that fear of conflict, they weren't communicating clearly because they didn't want to be too direct and then be offensive. And so part of that only happens through self-awareness. Now, a coach like myself could sit there and listen to that person, and I didn't have to work for him. In fact, he's in a totally different state than I'm in. So I've never seen him in a work environment, but based on what he was sharing with me and based on a little bit of knowledge of just being around this person, I was able to say, hey, I've noticed this in you, and I think I have a solution for you. It comes into being a little more direct and being willing to realize that clarity is a gift to those people. It is not something that's offensive to them. In fact, I have not yet met a good employee who didn't want to know what the expectations of their supervisor were. Right? Everybody wants to know those things because they are not able to fulfill the expectations if they're not aware of what the expectations are. So I know I'm spending a lot of time on this point, but I think this one is so key because there is a wealth of knowledge that is to be had for you if you would just ask. There are people around you who actually want to help you. They want to see you succeed. I know that may be hard to believe, but they want to see you be a great leader. And they actually have the keys that will help you be a great leader. But you've got to ask them for it, because most of those people are not going to offer it to you. They're not just going to share it with you. And if they do, they're probably not the person I want to hear from because they're too eager to want to cut me down or criticize or whatever. Those are not the people we're talking about. I'm saying somebody who is on your team, somebody who says, I want to see you win. And then you just need to ask them the question and let them go from there. Now, these are rare people, especially depending on how high your leadership position is, it's going to be even more and more rare. And this is really, I'll be honest, in a lot of my career as a leader, this is when I wanted to hire a coach or bring on a counselor, somebody like that, because there's no skin in the game for those people. They are being hired by me to help me. And so this is really where a coach could be incredibly helpful for you. Now, the downside of a coach or a counselor is they don't see you every day, and so that is a little bit of a disadvantage. But the good ones are going to be able to figure out, just based on some of the stories you tell and based on the way you are with them, they're going to be able to point you to a number of things that are going to help you get better. Okay? So let's just do a quick review, and then I want to give you the fourth and final principle here on growing self-aware. Number one, grow your self-awareness by examining the patterns that are in your life, both lifelong patterns as well as present-day patterns, okay? Pay attention to those patterns. Number two, use your emotions as a dashboard. Use your emotions as a dashboard. Let your emotions point you to something deeper that's going on. Pay attention to where, follow the thread to where they're going. And I know I'm mixing metaphors there, but that's a critical point. Use your emotions as a dashboard. And then the third one we just talked about was talk to people who care enough to be honest. Talk to people who care enough to be honest with you. And that leads us to our fourth and final thought here, and that is to be intentional in developing your character and your integrity. Part of growing self-awareness is you need to be a moving vehicle. It is impossible to steer a car that is in park. It's impossible. You can move the wheels around, but it's not going to go anywhere differently. It's parked. But when a car is moving, when there's motion, now when there is adjustments being made, when there is when there's adjustments being made, you actually now are making progress. And so what I would tell you is get in the game as far as get some movement going. There's already things, I guarantee you, there are some things right now that you know you need to work on. There are things that you can become a better leader just by being intentional in a couple key areas that you're already aware of. So start doing those things. And then as you get input and as you are paying attention to your patterns and as you're noticing your emotions and you're using them as a dashboard, you're going to get more input. You're going to get more information. And then you're just going to need to sift through that and you're going to prioritize. These are the things that need to happen. But I will tell you this, growth in your self-awareness and in who you are as a leader doesn't happen by accident. You just can't say, I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. Because by the way, when you go with the flow, what direction do things flow? That's right. They flow downward. Nothing flows up, right? It flows down. So if you're going with the flow, what direction are you going? You're going to go down. And so the only way that you're going to see progress and movement in your life is you're going to need to be intentional in developing your character and your integrity. Now, how is character developed? Character is built by applying knowledge to real life. Let me say that again. Character is built by applying knowledge to real life. That means you read an article, you read a book, you sit down with a good friend who gives you some honest feedback and advice. You then apply that feedback, or you apply that principle from that book, or you listen to a podcast like this, and then you take what you're learning and you start trying it. You start putting it into action in your real everyday life. That's how your character is built. That's how your wisdom is built. That's how you become a better person and a better leader. It's by applying the things that you're learning to real life, making it work for you. All right. So be intentional, do the things, try these things out. And I'll tell you this, there's going to be situations that you find yourself in that you're like, this just doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel like me. I'm going to just challenge you. Keep practicing it. And I use that word on purpose. Practice, practice, practice. It's not going to feel natural. That's why you're practicing it. And the more that you're practicing good skills, applying that knowledge to your real everyday life, the more that it will become more natural for you to act in those ways. And by the way, before we end this podcast, I need to tell you, this is what I do for people. I help leaders maximize their potential. And really what I'm doing as a coach is I'm working on the top three things that get us stuck and hinder our potential as leaders, right? What are the top three things that hinder our potential as leaders and get us stuck? Number one, ourselves. You are a reason that you get stuck. That's why we're talking about growing in self-awareness. Number two is our dysfunctional fears. We have fears that are dysfunctioning right now. I guarantee you there are a couple of fears in your brain right now that are dysfunctioning, and that's what is adding to your stress and anxiety. And then third thing that gets us stuck and limits our potential is our lack of clarity and focus. So three things that limit our keep us stuck and limit our potential is ourselves, our dysfunctional fears, and our lack of clarity and focus. And so when I work with a leader, that's where I put my attention. How do we help get over ourselves, put to rest those dysfunctional fears, and bring a much greater level of clarity and focus? And so if I can be of help to you, please look me up. I would love to have a conversation with you. We'll hop on a phone call. We'll talk through what's going on for you, what's in your story, and then how I tend to work with people. And we can see if it's a fit, and we can see if I can be of help to you. And I would love the privilege of at least discovering if that might be a fit for you. So as always, thanks so much for listening to the Calm and Confident Leader podcast. I really do hope that what we talked about on this episode will give you some nuggets, some thoughts, some things for you to think a little deeper on. I want all of us to grow in our self-awareness, because when you grow in your awareness, then you grow in your ability and opportunity to make the necessary changes to maximize your potential as a leader. So we'll talk to you again on our next episode of the Calm and Confident Leader podcast.